Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket for another week. We've got the three superstars here. Isaac Smith, you've been out shopping for a new shirt. You left your shirt, you parked your car in Richmond, and you forgot your shirt.
Yeah, I did. I had to duck into one of Geelong's great sponsors and pick up this little number.
What is that?
Little Cotton On.
Cotton On, did you?
40% discount.
It was the closest shop I could find on the way here.
Oh, a little full
That's
butt.
A good little number.
And this, we're done with you. And this is beautiful, this jacket. This is structured.
Yeah, it is. Just bringing a little bit of class here, obviously, today. But just gone the white shirt underneath, so nothing too dynamic.
Speaking of class, former Port Adelaide champion. Had a bit of a haircut.
What a round of football we've got. Cannot pick probably 7 out of the 8 games. It's that difficult. So looking forward to getting stuck into it with you guys.
All right, let's look at the premiership market. The Giants are still the favourites to win this year. And it's just inside Sydney and Brisbane are coming. The Blues, I don't think the Blues can win it. I'll put it out there. Melbourne at $8, Port Adelaide $9, all the way down to Collingwood and Geelong at $10. This is close.
How the hell are Geelong at $10?
How are they still $10?
Well, they've come in from 22 a couple of weeks ago.
Still.
They've got 7 games left at home where they never lose.
They play the bottom 3 twice.
Yeah.
Top 4.
Yeah.
Coleman middle, Charlie Curnow. Pretty much everything starts with a 3 in front of a Charlie Curnow every time he plays at the moment. Jesse Hogan dropped off a tiny little bit, but not too much. Harry, Jeremy Cameron kicked a big bag of 6 last week. I don't see anybody else outside that top 4 being able to do it. And the Brownlow medal market, Isaac Heaney. You saw my Brownlow tracker last week. I had him 4 votes clear. Tom Green wouldn't have voted last week. Caleb Sarong, he's got the showdown, or not the showdown, the derby this week, and he's won 2 Glendenning medals already. And Connor Rosie, 37-3 a couple of weeks ago, would be coming hard. Marcus Bontempelli has gone from second favourite to an outsider.
Yeah, I think he's sort of drifted with the form that the Bulldogs have shown at the moment, and the mids at that club, who knows who's going to play in what position each week. So it's a little bit of a raffle, which I'm sure we'll get into that game very soon anyway.
All right, let's talk about dialing the pressure up, and the pressure is definitely on your man, Luke Beveridge. You brought this up at the start of the year. You said this man probably should have been removed as the coach earlier. He is there. This is pressure stakes.
It is, and the messaging is confusing. There's their odds to make the 8. Now, their draw is pretty good. The amount of finalists they played from last year is small, so there's an opportunity for them to get a run on like they often do, but often it's too little too late and they never ever finish top 4. This game tonight is critical to that. Will the Dogs respond after the week they've had? You'd think they would, but advantage Ross Lyon in the coach's box. He's very clever and will come up with a game plan.
When you say advantage Ross Lyon, advantage, not advantage, but why?
One's a premiership coach, one's not.
What Ross Lyon is doing with the tools that he's got versus what Luke Beveridge is doing with the tools that he has got, chalk and cheese in terms of the talent.
So that's advantage for tonight or moving forward?
No, I just think tonight's game from the coach's box, Ross is going to come up with some things that test Luke Beveridge. But having said that, Luke Beveridge has got far more talent at his disposal than what the Saints have got.
Okay. I like that advantage, Luke Beveridge. Okay, let's get into it because Tom Liberatore is out of this side. So they've got 2 good players out, Jamara and also Tom Liberatore. That means Jack McRae has to come back into the middle. Now, Luke Beveridge does some strange things, as we know, but I don't see anybody else who can play in the middle. This is without Tom Liberatore. That one where the cross is, he was subbed out of that game. So 3 all above 30 before that. So I just feel like Jack McRae is value. He hasn't had 25, 30 for a couple of, probably most of this season. He had 25 last week, but I just feel like he's the value in this game.
Yeah, but the big one for Jack, and I actually quite like what the Bulldogs are doing in the sense that they're looking...
How could you like what they're doing? What exactly do you like about what the Bulldogs are doing?
Listen to me, and I know you're on the Beveridge, let's knock his head off path, but...
Well, he coached you, so you've got a soft spot for him.
I do have a soft spot.
I'm interested.
This isn't defending Beveridge. This is defending the Bulldogs that... I genuinely think the last 3 years, the way they've been playing isn't good enough to win a flag. I don't like how they're set up. And as a coaching thing, they need to set up differently.
And who's responsible?
Differently. But they need a change and their list wasn't good enough. And I feel like people are still overrating their list. Their defence is poor. And I just think that...
He's thinking about it.
If you gave Ross Lyon or Chris Scott the list that Luke Beveridge has got, would get better.
There would be
results.
Some positional changes, but the one thing that he's been strong on is that his midfielders have got to defend, and someone like Jack McRae hasn't defended well enough, and that's why he's out of the side.
I disagree. I think the midfield has been stacked. They got the All Australian ruckman, they got Bontempelli, they got Libba, they got Treloar, they've got young players in
Sanders. The All Australian ruckman, I reckon Gawn was still the best ruckman.
Of that All Australian ruckman, so he has to make a statement. He was poor last week. He was beaten by Goldstein, who's about 47 years of age. Comes up against Rowan Marshall. There's no ruckman in better form than Rowan Marshall at the moment. So this is huge for Tim English. Has to make a statement, has to start with him.
What advice are you giving to Tim English after witnessing this vision here?
Yeah, he needs to be, first of all, a bit more physical in the contest. We've seen him really dominated by rucks that are keen to cross the line early and get a body in, and that's general ruck craft. I know what we're looking at here is around the ground stuff, but I feel like as a ruckman, and with other positions as well, as a small forward, when you're getting your hands on the footy sort of up around the midfield, or as a ruck, you're getting a tap, you're getting physical and getting, I guess, dominance over your opposing ruckman, that's when around the ground you start to pick up, you have the feel for the game. So marks that he missed like that, you start clunking, and then your confidence just start building. So he needs to set the tone from the first centre bounce to then improve and get that confidence
that's
around the ground.
That's it for me, and you would know. The ruckman sets the tone for the day. He's got to run, he's put his knee up, I don't want any of this bodding stuff. Rowan Marshall is a very physical
ruckman.
The big
thing
for
Bulldogs is they've got the worst pressure differential in the competition. So if I was Luke Beveridge, I'd nearly throw everything out and just say, we are bringing the heat this week. We know St Kilda are probably only going to kick 10 or 11 goals in their wins. I think they're 11 goals in their losses, they're 10. So don't worry about that, just bring the heat. And our game will flow from
there. That's what Collingwood have done the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. If the Dogs lose this game, will you come here next week and still be defending Luke Beveridge? Because the Saints, there's no king.
I defended the fact that they do not have a premiership side and they need to do things differently. Where it's easy just to say, get rid of the coach.
Okay, let's talk about, first of all, who's going to kick the goals, because there's two big key forwards who aren't going to be playing. And is it the small men? So Cody Waitman thought it was his worst game last week, hardly touched the football. But before that, multiple goals in all games. So too, Jack Higgins. I think he looks the man most likely, Jack Higgins. I don't see a great matchup for him. Maybe Taylor Giray, but Taylor Giray's been getting a fair bit of the football lately. But you keep one eye on the footy and one eye on Jack Higgins at your peril, because he gets in behind you pretty quickly.
Been good. He's a smart player. He's working harder. I think he's having an excellent season. Didn't kick a goal in round one, but other than that, he's kicked multiple goals every week.
Yeah, and this season, averaging 2.5 goals. But the concern for me, he hasn't kicked a goal against the Bulldogs in his last 5 games against them. So something's matched up well for them against Jack Higgins. So that's just maybe one to keep a watch on.
All right, same game multi. You've been on fire lately.
Oh, probably not as well this weekend. I think we'll get to Canes. He had a few winners on the weekend. But I've gone 1-24. I think if they win St Kilda, it'll be a close margin. We know they like to prioritise defence over attack. So Jack Steele, 25+. He's been pretty reliable for them through the midfield. And Mitch Owens, without Max King, I think he'll be up and about early. They'll be looking to get him in the game early and might kick a goal in the first term.
And that bet will be on the feed. So all our punting is there right on the feed. Join the feed now to explore and copy other punters' bets. Everybody is there as we turn our attention now to the West Coast up against Fremantle Derby. I thought the West Coast were outstanding last week. I was too scared to pick them and back them. I looked at that price, $3.30. I thought they were a bet. Didn't go there. Kate Rates, we've got you a stinger. Let's have a look at this.
Well, all the talk has been about Harley Reid and how good he's been, which I absolutely agree with. I've loved what he's done. He's gone out and been relaxed. But I think the man that's really turned this midfield around in West Coast Eagles is Elliot Yeo and his form. He's not someone that up until this point has not averaged great numbers.
Good numbers.
But he's career high for disposals, contested possessions, clearances, score involvements, every single one of the categories that we basically track and keep and value really highly with champion data. He is averaging career highs for all of those numbers. I know the season's only 5 games old, but in every single one of them, he's been fantastic. And when they've also needed someone to go forward and kick goals,
it's a trend, isn't it, over 5 weeks?
Yep, he's been the one that's done it. So I think his dominance through the midfield is actually allowing Harley Reid to not have so much focus on him. He's been able to come in as a first-year player and play a first-year player's role. He spent a bit of time in the forward line. Now they're playing him more through the midfield because Yeo can dominate like this.
Strong too, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Caleb Strong, if there's one medal that I love watching, it is the Ross Glendening medal, because you never know who's going to win it. Even right up to when Ross himself gets out there and decides, nah, I don't like who's won it today, I'm going to change. And I think he went with Michael Gardner one day. So he's averaged 30 per game in his last 3 against West Coast. If he gets 30 again, you feel like the Ross Glendening medal is his.
You would think so. Although Elliot Yeo has been in ripping form, but you think Fremantle win this game comfortably, so that medal will come from a Fremantle player, and him or Brayshaw are the ones that get it going. But he's having another All-Australian-worthy season so far.
I think Kate's on the West Coast Eagles with that
jacket. No.
Oh, the jacket.
You couldn't possibly pick the Eagles.
Oh, no, not this game. No.
We're talking about the jacket.
Yeah, just stirring a bit. But it is quite West Coast Eagles, isn't it?
Wow.
It's got the yellow, the blue. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's more talk, West Coast Eagles than any other team,
good
really.
Value jacket. Speaking of value, let's talk, look, have a look at some of the punters who got up last week. Now, somebody actually backed this. I asked the traders, did somebody actually back Jake Waterman at $6 at $101? And lo and behold,
that's the one with an iPhone that isn't calibrated.
Absolutely did. So let's get our value for the weekend. So we've decided with that. And Nick Larkey for me, $6.25. I consider value $6.25. That is value.
What about
you? You're going for a draw. That's ridiculous.
Well, I just think that none of these sides can win. They just cannot win. It has to be a draw.
And I've gone for Darcy Fogarty because I just don't think the Bombers have a matchup for him. Mackay will go to Walker and Darcy Fogarty, I'm telling you, he's due. And if he's not due soon, he's going to find himself in the sandfall. So he needs a big game. What'd you go for?
Yeah, I've gone the bow and arrow. So I think that'll come out three times on the weekend.
Kicked
I think
a couple
he'll kick
last
three.
Week,
he's
he?
Looking good. He pushes he forward really hard.
Like
Adelaide
him.
Struggle against small forwards. So if he pushes all the way inside 50, gets a couple of crumbs, you never know.
Well, we're going to preview that Friday night game up next. That is Adelaide up against the Bombers. Tell you what, have a look at this. On the weekend, Soligo there for 25. He bossed it. Adelaide got up plus 23.5. Taylor Walker was the Tex of old. I can't believe you even put him in there, Kane. You don't like him. And Kerno did what Kerno does. Kane Corns nailed his multi at $12. You can follow him on the sports bet.
Get around
feed.
Me, well, Brownie.
How do you feel about that?
I felt
I'm
very
throwing
good.
Out $3 ones and I can't even get them up.
How did
you're
I feel?
Fucking 12s
well,
out
how
nowhere.
Did I feel about barracking for Taylor Walker and Adelaide?
I can't believe you backed
I
him.
Know. But
he's tell you what, he drove me to
You've
one of the
changed.
Games at Gather Round. He's very, very keen to go through blow by blow our fight. He's very happy with my performance.
I was surprised he wasn't at the fight.
All right, let's talk about Adelaide Essendon Friday night. This is a big game, and Adelaide bounced back, as we know, last week. At home, you feel like with the way they changed their ball movement last week, this one is just a must win to make the top eight, still outside at $6.
What about last week? It was their grand final against the Blues. So there's the odds there. Essendon, I think Adelaide probably should be higher than that. Lower. I think that if they can get on a run, they're a good chance to make it. But Adelaide last week was their grand final. Butts did his hammy. They put him back out on the ground because they had Kerno and Mackay as the opposition. They go, we're going to have to roll the dice here. If we don't have Butts, we can't quell Kerno and Mackay. Now he's done his hammy, he's out. So that does favour the Bombers. But I think you're right. Adelaide at home, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, they got their inside 50, sorry, Brownie, working last week. So up a healthier percentage. We know that's where they've been falling down of late. But history's not on their side, the Crows. They haven't beaten Essendon since 2017. So they've yet to beat them. So that's a concern with history. Obviously, we know matchups typically, but I think you're right. I think the Crows will again play this one like they need to win two in a row to keep their season on track and backs against the wall type stuff. I think they'll come out swinging.
Coaches are stubborn. So let's have a look at this graph on why they are so stubborn. So Isaac Rankin hasn't been above 20 disposals all year until they put him into the midfield and he attended 20 centre bounces last week and he gets it up. So still a pretty good price. Now, Jake Soligo, the price has gone for 20 plus, but he was put into the middle in round three to change it up. And the last three games, he's had 20 plus. Two of those have been well above 25. That's where the value is. I don't understand why it takes them so long.
Because they are stubborn. And here's Rankin. This is what he did. So, yep, he got plenty of the footy, but he also went forward. He took six marks inside forward 50. So you still don't lose the forward craft that he's got, but he just does it and he gets them around the footy. We know it's at times starvation corner as that small forward. Well, he just played it beautifully. Went to centre bounce, then went forward and did the damage and was the best player on the ground.
And it's easy to get off the leash as a small forward if you can get up the ground. No, I
Absolutely.
Don't understand it. Adelaide go and pay Rankin big dollars, get him in. He's a star. Play him like an actual star. I reckon pre-season with coaches, sometimes they lose their mind. They're playing against each other. They think their midfielders are better than what they are. Get your best players in the middle of the ground because you need to get the ball forward to kick goals. So it was awesome to see Adelaide had do that on the weekend, and hats off to them.
15% midfield time, round 0-4, 55% last week. So that's why his numbers went so high and kicking more goals, obviously.
And then Rochelle, 13 of his 15 disposals came in the midfield on the weekend. So he gets in the game. He gets damaging. Then the opposition have to think, who do we go to? Rochelle, Rankin, Soligo, what are we doing?
I love how they played him too. They used him as a fifth. So he rolled up to stoppage, started in the forward line, rolled up. Then with the dominance they were having, he got through the stoppage and then went forward as well. And got goals on the end of it too, and he's just a big, powerful body. Another one that's a big, powerful body will probably be Berry coming in, the goal kicker, the game winner. He'll come in, obviously, with Crouch out as well with suspension.
And the way to play stars out of form is to sit them in a forward pocket and not get them any of the ball. Way to get them into form, get them up the ground, get the ball in their hands, and they're the most damaging players on the ground. You saw it with Cam Rayner for Brisbane as well on the weekend.
Absolutely. They're going to have to defend well, Adelaide, if they want to win this game, because Essendon, even though they're short in their forward half of the ground, they've got some talent. So you think of Kyle Langford, who's kicked multiple goals in most games, and then this man, Jake Stringer, he just continues to do it. He looks as fit as what he's ever looked, I think, in the last five seasons, and two-plus goals, which he's done four of the five games this year.
Yeah, Adelaide's defence is young as well. So we're talking Worrell, we're talking Michael Aney, no buts there as well. So Mitch Hinge hasn't played a lot of football. So if you like that, you like Jake Stringer for two-plus, he's playing hungry. He's getting after the opposition, contract year. We know he plays better in a contract year. You're right, he looks as good as he ever has, and he looks hungry. So I actually really like him for two-plus.
They're not giving him multiple years, though, are they?
They're not, and well, they shouldn't. Should just be like one-year contracts forever.
If you heard him post-game on the weekend, he's just matured so much to where he was 3 or 4 years ago. So I reckon Brad Scott, if anyone on that list has improved under Brad, it's him.
Targeted 10 times inside 50 as well. So he's the one they're going to without 2 metre Peter down there. So definitely in the range for those two goals.
All right, time to put someone on notice.
Well, let's do this, because I can't believe how disappointing Darcy Parrish has been. He's had 5 inside 50s for the year. Yes, he's only played 3 games. Yes, his pre-season was interrupted, but he's still getting 20-odd touches, but is inflicting no damage with those touches. He's running around. He's got the socks up. I don't know why they're up, but it makes him look slower, and he's plodding, and he's not damaging. He kicked 3 goals last year. He has kicked 1 behind this year. He's got to get his positions in more possessions in more dangerous spots on the ground, because right now he's running around. I actually think it's getting to the point where these young midfielders at the Bombers, and only for the fact that Perkins is out, that he's still in this side, because Caldwell's been in there, Durham's been in there, Merritt's been enormous. Parrish is the one that is letting them down, and he needs a big performance if Essendon are going to match with Adelaide's midfield.
I'll tell you what, let's back the truck up on Darcy Parrish, 25 plus, 30 plus, because every week you've done this, this player has then come out and exploded like Cam Rayner did last week.
I put him on notice, Brownie.
That gets us into this game, Brisbane Geelong, big game, but Cam Rayner absolutely was on notice last week, 12 in the first quarter.
Well, they all watch this show. That's it, and they respond after being put on notice, which is what you want, and that's exactly what he did. So credit to him. Went on ball, came up as a forward when he wasn't on ball. 6 clearances in the first half, Kate. 9 for the game, all career highs.
Yeah, they were. He was fantastic, and it is that. It's what we were just talking about with the Adelaide Crows. Why are coaches waiting till so late in the season to put their exciting, big forwards that can roll through the midfield? Why are they waiting so long to do it? Because we saw Cam Rayner explode, faded out of the game though. So
can he do it again, Isaac? Can he do it at 25-plus?
Well, he can do it again if they let him loose in the midfield.
And will Geelong let him loose? Will Geelong let him come up and free will like he did last week?
I think Scotty will let him do that. And if he's getting in control, if he's taking control of the game away from Geelong, then they'll put blitzers on him, stop him down. So he literally won't get a kick after that, because blitz is the best I've seen at stopping someone. So it'll be interesting to see, but Scotty does like playing footy on his terms and all about Geelong. So he might just let Brisbane do what they want to do a little bit.
All right, we haven't focused much on first goal scorer so far this year, but with so many options in this game, it's just hard not to. So Charlie Cameron, we think he'll play, so he'll be in there. Joe Danaher, Eric Hipwood, Jeremy Cameron, Tom Hawkins. You've even got Oliver Henry in there. Ryan Myers will push forward as well. So first goal scorer market, always good to get away with good stuff, particularly for Geelong playing away from home. And speaking of Ryan Myers, I wanted to go through his stats and the fact that how high he plays. He's basically an extra midfielder, so he empties out that forward line. Zorko will probably let him go. Zorko's having a great time at half back. So this is what Ryan Myers has done so far this year in all his games. He has hit the market in every game of 20 plus. When you look at $1.55, it's not bad to go into your same game multis when you know you're going to play pretty much without an opponent through the midfield or the ground.
Yeah, I think he's been enormous, because what he does is maximum value per touch. It's the complete opposite to Darcy Parrish. His kick inside 50, we know, is as good as anyone, but now he's getting more of the footy, like career highs in terms of disposal numbers, and you think that's going to continue?
Josh Dunkley's the same, big numbers. You like the way he plays?
Yeah, I like the way he plays, but he's not as damaging as some other midfielders in the competition.
I don't
but
care about damage. I care about $1.47 in your same game multi, and he's done it every time he's played this year.
He's grunt work, and he does all the tough stuff, and he'll end up getting 20, 25 plus. But Grian Myers...
25 plus, tick, 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 tick.
Grian Myers, he's the interesting one, that Geelong's forward line is so stacked that they just can't even worry about Grian Myers and Brad Close. Brad Close kicks four on the weekend. Grian Myers has a field day. They've just got too many stars down there to man everyone up.
Same game multi-time, and I've got that man Grian Myers in there for 15-plus. Then Zorko at halfback. He's loving it. If you don't get 25 at halfback, don't come to me next week for a game. Dunkley, 25-plus, and Lockie Neal at 25-plus. And you can follow that bet on the sports bet feed. Isaac's on there. Kane's on there doing $12 winners. Kate's on there. Okay, this is a big game.
Well, I think Brisbane at home, their actual numbers are pretty good, and their response against Melbourne the previous Thursday night was as good a performance as I've seen from any team this year. So at the Gabba, they didn't lose there last year. Yep, they've dropped a couple there this year, but I think they'll be too good for the Cats.
Yeah, Brisbane building on the momentum.
What's your thoughts before you give a tip quickly about Geelong's midfield? Is it a premiership midfield?
Not right yet, but I think it can be by the end of the year with Bruin and Clark and a couple others getting time. Dangerfield, Guthrie, who's probably the best player in there at the moment.
Who are you tipping?
Geelong just.
Oh, Geelong just. He didn't take his Geelong hat off. It's going to be a massive weekend. Good luck and enjoy. Welcome to In the Back Pocket. So many good games this weekend. Collingwood Port Adelaide is definitely one of those at the MCG. Kane Corns, Kate McCarthy, and this man, Isaac Smith, who's joined the media this year. And there's no mates in the media. And it's a non-fence sitting. It's not bullying. Well, it is bullying, but we don't really care. But we've got a stinger for you as well. Really happy with yourself, aren't you? Absolutely happy with yourself, aren't you? So we saw a few players crack it last week. So Riley Sanders was one who went down to the bench and cracked it. Lee Matthews said he would have kicked him up the backside. We've seen BJ Goddard crack it multiple times. The pretzels were the most famous one. I don't see you as being a man who cracks it too often. Did you ever crack it or sook it up large?
No, I never cracked it for going off the field. I actually quite enjoyed going to the bench and getting a rest. But I did make sure that the interchange coach got some feedback if the upstairs box wasn't doing or giving us enough information as players.
I feel like the interchange steward down there is an easy target.
Doing it for the love of it. Probably not getting paid to be there, just for the love of it.
Well, he's doing a job, mate.
Targeted the interchange steward. Amazing. What about last night? Hawthorn inducted Sam Mitchell and Luke Hodge into their Hall of Fame. Who's the better player?
Well, talking about interchange, I'll probably learn off the best Mitchell.
Luke Hodge. Answer the question.
But who's the better player? They've both had outstanding careers. Brownlow medals, two Norm Smith medals,
like
both premiership captains.
Fence sitting happening here.
A little bit of fence sitting, and you know why? Because what? Hawthorn, they couldn't even split them in the induction of the Hall of Fame. They're that close, they had to put them in together. So, no, they're both absolute stars and brilliant players. And
you're available to be selected into that in 2028. Do you go in straight away?
I doubt it, Brownie, but you'd be a better judge than me.
Of course he does.
Well, you're a four-time premiership player. You're a Norm Smith medalist. You feel like you missed out on the other Norm Smith medal as well. So you'd have to go in straight away, I thought. Oh. Don't smile there and say, I agree with what you're saying, Brownie. Shut up, Smithy. Okay, Collingwood up against Port Adelaide. This is a huge game. This is one of the huge games of the weekend. Love it. Collingwood's pressure the last 2 weeks, ranked number one. They were ranked 16 before that. Port Adelaide at the MCG have had their issues in the past.
Yeah, they have. And I think that price there, though, $2.10, I really like Port Adelaide at that price. I think, yes, historically struggled at the MCG. Most recently, that game last year, they got blown off the park by Collingwood. But I think this year they've got their system right. I think their midfield is really balanced. So really good challenge for them. And I think they'll bring their A game on Saturday.
They need to, because I don't think they've beaten anyone significant this year so far. So it's been West Coast, Richmond, Fremantle. They've beaten Essendon. So nothing to write home about. This is a real test for you away from home. They have a lot of games at home earlier on in the season. So this is their biggest test of it, and as you said, they were destroyed there earlier on last year, so I need to see it before I'm going to confidently pick Port Adelaide.
MCG daytime v Collingwood, you want to win to set yourself up for a good run at the finals if you ever have to play there. But the one thing in Port Adelaide's team at the moment that's not firing is probably their forward line, in the sense that Dixon will be out this week. They'll have some challenges there. Their back line, they've recruited really well. Their midfield's firing, but the question marks still lie on their forward line. And Collingwood would love to get a lot of drive out of their back line. So it'll be interesting to see how it's all set up.
I love getting information I didn't know beforehand. And I got given this bit of information. Well, I researched it myself, to be honest. So this is disposals. We know Collingwood have got some big numbers through Pendlebury, Degowie, Chris. They get numbers, but Port Adelaide ranked number 2 at not allowing the opposition ball through the midfield. That is big. So Port Adelaide hard to play against this year. Collingwood are ranked number 16. So that says to me, I'm going to step around the Collingwood players and look at Port Adelaide players.
Yeah, so it's interesting with Nick Dacos. So if you like him for 30 plus, Willem Drew did the job on him last year and did a pretty good job. But Drew's been so important for Port Adelaide as a standalone midfielder. So he's been excellent, still underrated with the others that are in there. So I don't think he does a job. So the only one I would say to you is if you like Nick Dacos for 30 plus, I'd be pretty confident that he'll reach that mark again this round.
And how are they going to set their forward line up, do you know?
Port Adelaide? Yeah. Well, I just wonder if Big Ivan goes forward, because Jordan Sweet back in, they're going to play 2 rucks for the first time. They recruited both of them and promised them both ruck time, and Sweet hasn't played yet. So with Georgiades and Marshall, no Dixon, I think Big Ivan's going to have to go forward, and there might be some value in 2 plus goals.
All right.
Yeah, I think the back line from Collingwood, I think the work through, you said the midfielders don't, Port Adelaide don't give up a whole lot. I think their run off the back line, I think you've got Noble, even if Dacos lines up there, I think they're the ones to look at for disposal markets, not the Collingwood midfielders.
You like Johnny Noble? We have him always same game multis,
don't you? I just think the way that they're using him the last couple of weeks has been how they should use him, especially with Markov out of favour and not playing at the moment. He's the one that they're using to drive out of the half back line, and they love the footy in his hand, so that chalks up disposals.
So Port Adelaide, they've got the midfielders who can get the footy. We know that Connor Rosie is one of them. The other one is Zach Butters, as we know. So he had 24 last week. There was a groan around the ground when he didn't get that 25th disposal. But round 6, he's $1.38 to get 25 plus. And I just think that is a same game multi filler, like a stocking filler at Christmas. It is a same game multi filler, Isaac. Yeah. And Zach Butters is a very good mate of Kane's over there. Same game multi time. And Kane, you've got the honours.
I do. A lot of responsibility on this one. So these two won't go near each other. Dacos won't be tagged by Drew. Drew's been too important as an inside midfielder, so 20 plus for him. Dacos nearly gets 30 a lot of the times. I think that would be the case against Port Adelaide tomorrow. Todd Marshall, they need him to be good, because if he's not, there's not enough personnel to hit the goals down there, so him for 2 plus. And Willy Rioli is good for a goal, hopefully. Good odds there.
And you can follow Speedball Head on the Sportsbet feed. There's lots of bets to explore, lots of punters' bets to copy on the Sportsbet feed. Okay, I spoke about big games, and there's none bigger than this one this weekend. Carlton up against the Giants. We find out how good the Blues are. They gave up one last week that you don't expect them. Taylor is out, so how do the Blues... can they kick the winning score without him there? I think they can. It makes it easier for them. But this is a huge game.
Yeah, the injuries everywhere, though. So Blues have been smashed with their back line, with McGovern out. Sardi's out with a nasty. Hammy Chera's out. So there's personnel issues across the board. Cornelio also out for the Giants. But you would think that does advantage, clearly, Curnow and Mackay. But I just think the Giants are so well-rounded in everything they do, offensively and defensively. They're a hard team to play against.
Big numbers out for the Blues, though, isn't there? I mean, Taylor's a massive out, but multiple defenders out for the Blues is tough.
Yeah.
And the type of defender that they are, so Adam Sard matches up really well with the quick, speedy type, obviously would have probably lined up against Toby Green at some point. I think Williams will float back there now, and I think he'll chalk up a few numbers because of the outs that they've got back there. But yeah, the two that they've got out, McGovern and Sard, they're hard to replace, and they're not those big key forward types. They're the ones that need to play their role on the smalls, and if you lose contact with the small forward, they're gone and they kick a goal.
Hard to bet on the Giants in terms of the goal-kicking market because of the options they've got. Yeah. So Brown's there, Cadman there, Hogan's having a very good season, Toby Green's starting to come to life, then they've got Daniels and the smalls around them, so the goal-kicking market is really hard for the Giants.
Well, I'd be looking at Curnow and Mackay. With Taylor out, these two big boys could take control of this game if they get enough flow, so it'll be good to see.
Well, this Curnow's market, 3+, pretty short. It's the shortest of the comp for 3+ and 4+, so that's Charlie, and then you've got Harry as well, 3+. 2+ for Harry is probably a starting point.
Yeah, I think Harry's the one that you probably want to go with, because I think Charlie attracts so much attention. He's clearly their best dynamic forward. Harry sort of takes the role where he sits a little bit deeper and then isn't used so much as a lead out forward. So I reckon they might put all their eggs in one basket and try and stop Kerno, and then Mackay's the beneficiary.
You think they're hard to back for goals, but the Giants are very easy to back through the midfield. This is why. So they rank number one for total disposals. But in Carlton's favour this week, they actually rank the number three hardest side to play against getting disposals. So if Carlton can play to that and they can restrict, obviously, and then get their forwards to... It's an opportunity, but it's easier said than done to restrict the Giants from being the number one rank. And when you've got players like this who take the kickouts and then 80-metre players, they get it back. Lockie Whitfield, most of those have been over 30 as well.
Ash was really good last week as well, but Whitfield, yeah, just in these conditions as well, under the roof, you think that suits him. He's in really good form, be in the All-Australian conversation. One matchup I'd love to see is Green and Cripps. Now, it won't be a direct tag, but... we've seen probably Cripps do that defensive body on from stoppage, and Green's a young star getting plenty of it as well.
Okay, let's have a look at... I love a same game multi, as you know. Don't always get them up, and that's a story for another day, but who is in the All-Australian same game multi team? And this is my team. And it might surprise you, a few of the players in there, but Justin McInerney, at 20-plus disposals for Sydney. We always speak about Isaac Heaney, but at 20-plus, he's winning at 100% at an average price of $2.22. And the other one down there I wanted to point out was Grian Myers. 20-plus disposals, he's winning at 100% at $1.97. You got Battle in the back pocket, Stephen May, Sheezel's had every game above 30, and then Marshall, Heaney, Merritt, these guys picked themselves, and most of them average around the $1.40, $1.50 mark, but just wanted to point out two of those, and that's going to be a rolling All-Australian team. I'm very excited about it.
Matty Lloyd
Justin
about you.
McInerney, absolutely. Hey, I hope you've enjoyed us. That's Kane, Kate, and Isaac. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket, Sunday doubleheader. Can't wait to get into this one. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Kane Corn. So Gold Coast up against Sydney. We're going to find out a lot about the Gold Coast Suns. You, Kane, think they could play finals because they've got a very favourable draw.
There it is, 250. I like it. They just play West Coast, they play North twice, they play Essendon twice, and they're in a pretty good position. Yes, they haven't beaten the top teams, and that's why this game is so fascinating. But if you're looking at their odds to play finals, I think they're extremely good at 250.
I love the way they're playing, and I love the way Dimmer's setting them up. He's not necessarily putting his best team bright at this point in time in round six out there. He's wanting his best team to be there in September, and I think they're a sneaky chance to win some finals this year.
And with Dimmer, I love what he did early in the season. So he gave the older players that had sort of come in, done their time, he gave them 4 weeks. Then round five, gather round, brought in the three debutants who have all played fantastic footy for the last 2 weeks, brought McAndrew back in as well. So he didn't just come in and tear the place apart and put the young guns in. He gave the older guys a chance to prove their point, didn't like their form, pulled them out, and then the debutants have thrived because he set them up to succeed.
What they do is they retain the football so well. So they are the number one side at not allowing the opposition to get midfield numbers. So we know Sydney get the ball a fair bit through the midfield. So you got Warney, you got Heaney, you got these guys ranked number one for not allowing disposals. So if you're looking at Sydney midfielders to get big numbers this week, it is hard because not only do they defend well, but they've also got the ball most of the time.
How long did you spend doing this week?
Because a lot
we've
of
got
research,
one for
Kate.
Every team.
A lot of research.
Well,
it's a
good point because Hawthorn couldn't get the footy last week.
Can you talk me through that stat a little bit though?
So if you play against Gold Coast, it's very hard to get the ball.
Yeah, but very simple. Would that mean then they're number one versus their opposition at winning the ball?
No, it just means
they're total number one at stopping.
Total numbers. So all the teams that play against Gold Coast, the total numbers stacked up will come with the number 18. Mm. So they're ranked number one at not allowing. It's a pretty easy concept to understand.
And on the SCG as well, which is a small ground, congested. So you're looking at the likes of Heaney and Goulden and Warner, Rowbottom may get lower numbers because they're playing against Gold Coast this week, who make it hard.
Mm, and I'll tell you who's playing well is Ned's son, Sam Flanders, off half back. So he started through the midfield, but every game, 25. And they've just got so many midfielders that get the job done.
I love their midfield, and that's why I love this game, the midfield matchup. So he's been squeezed out, as you mentioned, but Rao, Anderson, Bailey Humphrey will go through there, Took Miller versus Heaney and Warner and Goulden and Rowbottom. So that's a fascinating matchup. The midfield's going at it this week.
Hey, McAndrew looks a star.
Yeah, he does. Cool. He does. He's blown me away this year. Some of the jobs he's taken, some of the contests he's been in, not only does he carve them, he wins them.
He floats through the air, Kate.
Yeah, he's just such an athlete. You see him sort of starting to launch and then just watch. Oh, absolutely. It's almost like he's got a set of wings on there. He just floats, doesn't come down. He just takes the ball, then has a really nice disposal on the end of it as well.
It's amazing, though, and you look at this, and we're going to critique Hawthorn a little bit here, but just stop his run and jump at it. Not once was a player getting between him and the contest, so it'll be interesting to see what Swans do against him, because a John Longmire coach side will be very aggressive defensively against
him. Got some aggression about him as well. He pushed Ginnivan over. He had a stoush with Toby Green as well the previous week. And the one concern I've got about Sydney, I don't really know how well they're going, but is their key forwards, which I think you've mentioned, Brownie, Logan McDonald, Amati, McLean. Is that a trio of key forwards that's going to take you to a prelim grand final? I think the jury's out on that.
It's a sneaky good game this one this week. I think we find out a lot
about
both
sides. You like Gold Coast, don't you?
I like Gold Coast this week. I love what Dimmer's doing and how he set them up and what Kate mentioned before. They're in a good position.
Another move Dimmer's made is Jack Lukosius. So he's been playing forward, and as we know, he's a great ball user forward, but he's even better back. So obviously round two, he didn't play defence. But since he's gone back to defence, 20-plus disposals both games and $1.63, takes the kickouts as well, and he gets 5, 6, 7, 8 possessions for free.
Yeah, he's looked good back there. I like the move, but I also like what it's opened up at the forward line. Jed Walter, doesn't he just look like he is made for the level? We've seen big sort of key, he's sort of that hybrid forward really. Big guy, but not super tall, can play that hybrid role, but it's opened up that spot for him and he just looks made for the level.
My man Isaac Heaney is the outright favourite for the Brownlow medal, with good reason too. I mean, his numbers are off the charts since going through the middle, and we talk about Isaac Rankin going in. This was round one for Isaac Heaney, so he goes in 25 plus and 30 plus, should get a fair bit of the football.
Well, this will be interesting. Coming off the bye, he was in a great run of form, and I don't think the bye helps him, and coaches can over-critique when you have a week off as well. So I'm really fascinated to see how Heaney goes this week.
Now, I've told you that it's very hard to get the ball against these sides, like the Gold Coast Suns. So give me your same game multi.
I'll give you my same game multi, and it has got a lot of things in it. We've got Errol Goulden for 25+. I think he just racks them up this week. Noah Anderson the same, and Papley, Heaney and King all hit the scoreboard at $3.50. It's 20 cents better than your multi-brownie, and away we go.
It's a lot of leagues for $3.50, but you can follow that on the Sportsbet feed. Isaac Smith is on there, Kate McCarthy, Kane, and I'm always on there as well. So that is Sportsbet feed. It's new, it's on the app, it's fantastic. Okay, let's get into the next game. It is North Melbourne and Hawthorn. You've tipped a draw in this game.
Game of the round, Brownie.
But I think North Melbourne can go very close in this.
Kane, do you think this is the battle for the spoon, this game here? North and Hawthorn. I know West Coast, they've come off a win. I know we're sort of a bit bullish about them because they won on the weekend. Do you think these two teams will be the bottom ranked?
I could sit on the fence, but I'm not as soft as Isaac. So I'm going to say no, I still think West Coast will take the wooden spoon. But if you look at the odds for this game, I think North have been disrespected. I don't know why Hawthorn are starting raging favourites with the injuries that the Hawks have got, the form that they're in. Their midfield has been smashed week after week, and the one advantage that North have got is probably their talent and speed through the midfield.
What are they doing with the ball at the moment, Hawthorn? Because they're playing a completely different game to what they played last year. So you could back them with confidence through the midfield. All the guys in there got big numbers. Number 2 ranked players for disposals. Done a lot of research this week, Kate.
Yeah.
Number 16 this year. So you can't back Hawthorn for numbers.
Well, they can't get their hands on the ball to start with. That's the problem. Newcomb, who was an absolute star this year, is really struggling, and he was their one that started them. Nash was getting big numbers towards the end of last year. He can't get his hands
Day's
on the
injured.
Ball. Yeah. Day's injured, and that hurts. He's the genuine star in there.
That really does hurt them. The best and fairest from last year. I think even though he was a young player, you can see now with him out the impact he had on that midfield.
He's not overly young though.
But what he allowed...
4 or 5, 6
years. And what he allows Newcomb to do. So Newcomb now has to play multiple roles because he's out. Warple started well, just disappeared last week.
Yeah.
So
Sam Mitchell got angry. He was angry after the game. He looked frazzled. He was rattled. He went to the interchange bench. He's screaming at the... I don't see that. He's usually up in the box, nice and calm. And then there was wrestling. There was mouth guards at training. So with that, if you like Hawthorn, I think you like them because you're expecting a response after Sam Mitchell's words and the training and the pressure that's built on them this week.
Well, oh, you go?
No, go.
I was going to say, I think the mouth guards thing got overblown a little bit. I think they came off short breaks and he said, pretty much said, we're going to have a contested week at training. And that wouldn't be 2 hours on the track belting each other. What you need sometimes as a player is 5, 10 minutes of actually genuinely crashing in and feeling at the level and the intensity that's usually above game level to get that back in your game. So Yeah, I've never seen Sam like that animated as a coach. I've seen him like that animated as a player, but I think they needed that.
And we saw backs against the wall stuff from Brisbane last week and Adelaide as well. And we saw how they came out. And I feel like this is the position that Hawthorn are in this week. It's now or never really for this side against North Melbourne.
And I feel like Clarko coaches a little bit different this week. One coming up against Hawthorn, one coming up against Sam Mitchell, who he obviously coached for a long time.
What does he do differently though? He's got to, what, try something, Clarko.
Well, even Simpkin hasn't been playing as much in the midfield. Like, I think he pulls some levers to put his best players in positions that are going to influence the game. Not for the future, but for this weekend, because they see this as a real gettable game to win.
Well, he's going to have to contend with Nick Larkey, Big Suva, in the forward half of the ground. He doesn't miss when he gets it. If North Melbourne win, you feel like it has to start with a three, maybe even a four in front of it. He's the man most likely. I'm not sure who they've got to go with him. Is it Frost to go with him? But Larkey, if they win, and I think the Kangaroos can win, I think Larkey has to kick three or four.
For Larkey, yeah, I reckon this week. I think that's a good bet.
All right, so we've put together a round six multi for everyone. Everybody's had their own leg, and we're going to pull that up. So Jack McRae for me, that is a lock. 25-plus disposals. Kate?
Yeah, I've gone Harry Mackay. I touched on it earlier, but 3-plus goals. I think Charlie takes most of the heat, so he might be able to kick three.
And I just think the Giants win. You get 3.5 points as well, so I think lock that in.
It's a strange bet, Kate.
Well, and Big J, his form this year has been great, and I just can't see how he doesn't kick two goals this week.
Oh, don't nice don't you so let us down.
5.25. Quick tip on that game for everyone.
I'm going to go for Hawthorn just.
Yeah, Hawthorn just.
The draw.
You going the draw? $46 it paid.
46.
Okay, so I think North Melbourne can win this game as well. It's going to be a huge weekend. Thanks for being with us all weekend as well. Footy coming up. You've been watching In the Back Pocket.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.